Blog Talk Radio.
And then there were two. Brady does it again. The Eagles soar at the link. Hank and I will talk about the NFL conference championships. We'll also talk about a lot of stuff happening in the NBA. Jason Kidd is out, and we're going to talk about it here on RSG One Mic.
Log Talk Radio.
This thing right here,
yeah.
It's for my people's in the streets.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
We hail. There is a pause throughout the stadium as this man sounds like he just coughs up a lung. They're looking around the Jumbotron shows and fans the cheerleaders, and as it goes down each cheerleader's face, each one breaks up into laughter, which at this particular time destroys half the stadium. The other half is still trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Does this guy need CPR or something? And then at that particular time, I lost it. Devon Drup.
Yes. Today,
Log Talk Radio.
This show, this one mic.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And you can do that. You know, people talk a lot about their training staff.
Log.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
Welcome to RSG One Mic. Myself, Hank, and all hosts are brought to you by Carbonwell Health, our complete solution for fitness, health, beauty. Go to carbonworldhealth.com to connect with Dr. Nestor Rodriguez and his staff to learn more about lifestyle medicine. Tell them that the Real Sports Guys sent you. If you want to connect with us and Real Sports Guys on all our platforms, just go to all your social media platforms and type in Real Sports Guys. Connect with us. We're on Twitter. We're on IG. We're on Facebook. I'm at RSG D Wills, D-W-I-L-S, on all platforms. Love to connect with you. Come with it. Or, you know, if you come a little slow, we'll hit you with the dog. You know we got cocaine, and he'll growl on you if you come wrong. And then there were two. We're going to talk about the NFL Conference Championship. We're going to begin with a little bit of NBA talk here at the beginning. But before we get into that freestyle mix, I got to bring my partner, the man that's in the pick and roll with me, my man Hank Davis. How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing good, D. You know, again, another wonderful evening to be here, to be able to talk a little bit of sports, to really be able to break it down, and to be able to really be excited about the things that's on the hardwood, that's on the field, that's on the ice, wherever you're talking about. And D, unlike the government, we never shut down.
That's right. They can't. We're not gonna run the. The government kind of like, you know, Trump is kind of like running them counter plays. He gets you going the one way and come back with the counter trade the other way on you, and he's trying to take it to the house. They don't know what to do. He bobbing and weaving and doing all kinds of craziness. I've been watching that, but you know, no, here you can count on us. We're gonna be here. We're gonna bring it to you. We're gonna bring it to you in all formats. And so, if you haven't checked it out, we already hit it with a little big show, Marcus and myself and Phil made our 2018 debut. You got to check it out. It was a hot one. We'll have a take from Marcus here on the show. We'll play some things here for to kind of give you a little taste of that. You can check that out. And, you know, one mic, we're here. We usually go deep on one topic on this show. We'll open up with kind of a little free flowing, and then we'll dig in for a majority of the podcast on one topic. And then our big show is kind of like the faculty seminar in the barbershop. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what Mark is going to say. You never know how Phil going to come at you. We'll hit multiple topics usually on that show. And then we got Inside the Park with Hank. He'll hit you with that baseball straight in the head. You know, we're just not going to talk analytics. He's going to get to the heart and soul of baseball. And then we have Hustle and Flows. You know, that's the intersection between hip hop and sports. So we, you know, we never shut down. Like Hank said, we just never shut down. Check out Sekou and his hip hop review for 2017 on our website at RSG at realsportsguys.com. So, you know, like Hank said, we never shut down. We don't have to bring committee. We don't have to caucus. We don't have to do all that. We just hit you straight to the head. So, hey,
that's right.
How have you been since the last time I saw you? I know there's been a lot happening in sports. We're going to do a little NBA around the world in the NBA little thing we're going to do here in a freestyle. But, you know, what have been some things that just kind of excited you over the past week?
Listen, you know what? It's been a bittersweet week, D. Mm. Bittersweet. Let me tell you why. You know, in 2 weeks, that'll be it for football for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, and see, I'm geekly when it comes to this. You know, the gridiron, I'm a gridiron geek, man. I don't mind saying it. I don't want to go to rehab for it. I got a smile on my face. You know, I am football drunk, you know, and I love it. All right? I'm right there in the gutter with the rest of them football drunks. And this is sad because I've got to go on an involuntary football celibacy, if you will, over the next several months because – it's going to be gone. But, you know, I have to tell you, I'm a little bit excited about what we saw yesterday, what's coming up, what we're going to talk about when it comes to the GOAT and what people need to get off of some stuff. I'm going to talk about that when we get into it. They want to talk about the referees and everything, but I'm going to spend a little something on you when we get to that because it don't make sense to me. It don't make sense to me at all. But, you know, it's just that it gets to this time of the year, man, and it's like, dang. Then you go back and see, is there any games out there that they replaying or stuff that because you just can't put it down, D. You just can't put it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and college football was able to say, okay, I can roll right into the playoffs, but then I would be wrong and I would be remiss if I didn't tell everybody that look, don't just hold still, hold fast, because you smell that. Smell that? You know what that is? That's the smell of spring, baby. And you know what happens. Pitchers and catchers, they start to report in less than 3 weeks. So I can't wait.
Wow. I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to kick it off. We're going to get right into it. We're going to take a trip around the NBA here in our open mic freestyle session we're going to have here. And the Bucks let Jason Kidd go. Now, people have to understand, Jason Kidd came to the Bucks coming out of kind of a crazy situation in New Jersey. If you think about it, right after Jason Kidd retired, he gets hired as a Nets coach. That was controversial. You had people like Patrick Ewing. You had a number of cats who had been coaching for a long time, ex-players who hadn't even gotten a shot yet. And then Jason Kidd kind of walks off the court into a job. And you have to argue, like, early on in that – his stint over there – They had a decent run. I mean, I think he surprised a lot of folks with what he did with that team and showed that he had some ability. But he wanted to have more control in the renegotiation, and they weren't willing to do that. And so his friend was it Mark Lazary or was a co-owner over at the with the Bucks. Someone he knew was they're looking for a new coach. And asked permission for him to interview, and he interviews and gets the job, and now he's gone. Excuse me, Hank. What's your reaction?
You know what? I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. You got a coach. See, sometimes your reputation, you know, precedes you, and Jason Kidd. This is one thing you got to watch about the NBA, D, is when you get these well-traveled coaches, they're not going to stay anywhere anytime soon unless they get into some sort of instant success. And everybody feels like that they got to get in the top eight. And if not, then at least they got to be buddy-buddy with something. I've never, ever, sensed that with Jason Kidd. Even back when he was successful with the Nets,
you know, when he's coaching the Nets, and all of a sudden, here come the Nets that came out of nowhere. I think he gets instant results. I think he's an old-school style coach, okay? And I think a lot of things that he teaches, if you watch the way his teams play, you know, he teaches his teams to play the way they did when he was with the Mavericks and when he was with Phoenix. You know, play physical on defense, get the ball, push the ball down the floor, you know. And this is a new NBA we're watching, okay? This is a new NBA where a lot of these teams don't want to play a whole lot of defense, all right? And Jason tries to teach playoff basketball from day one. He reminds me like a lot of like Carlisle when he was with Detroit and then with Dallas, you know. And that just don't play sometimes. And then it looks to me, you know, just watching how his teams, you know, operate, he's a coach that don't like to take any nights off. And you look at the record right now with the Bucks, they're at 8. But I think they're 2 games under 500 right now. And I don't know that they're a young, talented team, but you're talking about an NBA that's not like the NBA of old. And I don't know if he didn't ruffle some feathers over there. He gets results, but he also says what's on his mind. And sometimes when you're talking about some of these ownership groups, you just can't do that, especially when you're the coach of a team that, you know, is not close to championship caliber. You just don't have a whole lot of patience for that. This isn't the first time it's happened to him. He's proven his worth pretty much everywhere he goes in a quick time. But he kind of reminds me in a lesser sense of Jim Harbaugh in that he wears out his welcome pretty fast in the pro game, you know, where he gets results, but you got to be patient with him. And what I've seen is a lot of these franchises just aren't patient with him.
And it's real interesting. I mean, some of the reports, I was looking at an article out of the Washington Post said that he wasn't getting along as much with Jabari Parker, that he was really pushing management to make some moves. He just felt like they didn't have enough veterans in the locker room, had a lot of youth as well. And so he seemed like someone who was really pushing and demanding. And, you know, that's part of it. I know you and I, in preparation for the show, one of the things I talked to you about is what can a city like Milwaukee expect? I mean, I think one of the things, you know, I think about him, I see him as a Jerry Sloan type, right? Utah rolled with it. You know, you get your – it sounds like Giannis was ready to go to management to on his behalf. So it sounds like the star really liked him.
Right.
And when you're trying to keep your star, that's important. And, having someone that it sounds like Giannis got along with, you dismiss when you're trying to build a culture. – I know you opened up a new stadium, but you're trying to build a culture. You're trying to have continuity. You know, you're not like a destination spot. And so you got some young stars. Your team is building. You know, maybe you don't have as many wins as you want, but, you know, how do you build a culture? Because continuity is everything. And before Jason was there, I mean, y'all were having some decent runs, but he's definitely someone who can attract players. You know, these players, he hasn't been away from the game that long enough that they don't know him. And they seem like they play. And so they battled, they've made a playoff run. You know, he's playing without Jabari Parker. So he's really playing without probably your number two player. And you're sitting at the eighth spot. He's about to come back. Maybe you can move up to the sixth spot. Maybe you can move up to a point where you might get a bye. But I felt like they're going to try to let him play it out. But when you think about a city like Milwaukee, I mean, what's my big thing about small markets? What can they expect? You know, what should be the approach for what I'll consider a small market in the NBA?
Well, see, that's the thing you're talking about right there. And so when you're a Milwaukee Bucks and you look at how they drafted, you look at some of the young players you talk about that they have, I think they probably parallel themselves a lot with Philadelphia, okay? But Philadelphia was putrid for a long time, and they just got them a couple of lottery picks, and now, you know, they're slightly better than what you see in Milwaukee. But when you look at those two destinations, where would you rather be, Milwaukee or Philadelphia? They lose there too. You're absolutely right. What they are, though, is a historic franchise in the NBA, okay? That's the team of Lou Alcindor. That's the team of, you know who I'm talking about, the triple-double champion. And this is the team that they think that they're still laying upon tradition there. Okay, they figure they should at least be one of the top five teams in the East. All right, just based upon that. And so Oscar Robinson, who was I thinking about. So this is where I think a lot of these teams are still delusional based upon their history. The Sidney Moncriefs and the type, you know. And that kind of lends to not a whole lot of patience. Another thing you also want to look at too, D, that you just kind of want to throw in there, is the all of a sudden decline of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the infighting and the domestic dispute that is the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's causing a lot of these teams that maybe feel like they've got a shot. All right, but the NBA is a long season. And if you do the thing that I would question from the Bucks organization is that you got a coach that knows how to get a team to the playoffs, and you cut him loose in January. What are you saying? What are you saying to your team? What are you saying to your fan base? Because at least if you let him make that run, unless he just really, really pissed somebody off in the front office, you have to think that to me that's where I would go with that. It just seems like. You got a coach that can at least make a run, and you make this move. It's kind of like two steps forward, three steps back.
Yeah, it sounds like I give it to the top assistant Joe Prunty. Sorry, the Prunty. Try to get the name correct. And so, at a time when you, like you said, making a run, you got your second player coming back. It feels like a Carlisle. You know, when Carlisle left Detroit, many of us were like, what's going on? I mean, Carlisle, from the outside looking in, was like, okay, this guy has it together. You have Indiana, you have issues at Indiana. Then he kind of settles in at Dallas. Somehow they find a right mix. You know, he makes a run, and they win the title. It feels like you knew, you know, even though Jason was having success, you knew you were getting a young coach. You were going to get some guy who's trying to figure his way out through the thing. So,
right.
Why couldn't you commit? But you also have somebody with a little bit of star power. And unless it was the star player going to the front office like, this guy's killing me, you know, I can't see a reason for them to move even just for Jabari, you know, given that Jabari's coming back. I mean, Jabari's got to prove himself. So I think it was some front office folks who just, you know, felt like and maybe had the ear ownership, you know, because they made some good drafts. You know, Thad Maker hasn't been as good this year as the previous year, but I think they're making some progress. And so, like you said, it's a long season. There's a lot could happen on the second half of it. You know, it was Jason who had Giannis moving and playing more point, you know, showed that part of his game. You know, and right. So that innovation part of it is important. And all Giannis is really trying to add to his game now is the outside game. And so there's a lot of pieces here that I think were still there to be developed. And so we're going to keep an eye on it. You know, it's interesting because I don't know if Jason Kidd is going to be out too long. I think there's going to be another owner who's kind of likes what they saw with him over his work, given, you know, he's early in his coaching career. I got a sense that he might find himself in another job, you know, maybe go and do what Mark Jackson's done, be an analyst and stuff. You know, maybe that's a place where Mark Jackson can settle in. Mark Jackson has done a good job with young teams, but, you know, maybe, you know, Milwaukee doesn't want somebody with a dominating personality in it either, so they might not go with him. Or maybe the Fizdale, now that Fizdale is fired, that might have triggered this. Where they, I bet you he might end up in Milwaukee. You put him with that team, there could be some things happening with it. Maybe that's probably what triggered it. You see that guy, a guy like that out there available, you're like, hey, let's go get him right now. And so that, you know, that timing of this might coincide with the fact that he's available, and maybe that's somebody they want to talk to at the end of the season, who signed off by a lot of superstars, a lot of people like him as a coach. So. Continuing on this kind of thing, on the Big Show with Marcus and Phil, we spent a lot of time talking about the Cavs, and I said I really want to talk to Hank about this. But you know, one of the questions that was asked about was Ty Lue, the coach. And before we get into our conversation, let's listen to how Marcus addressed Ty Lue, which I thought he really did a good job of kind of breaking this down.
Yeah.
Is he the right guy as a coach?
Yeah. Oh.
I'm just asking. I don't know. I don't have any sort of like predetermined thing to say. I'm just asking a question. Like, how much of a role, or like sometimes if you're not helping, you hurting. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain times where you have to move the needle, and you can't just be in neutral. And is Ty Lue sitting in neutral when he needs to be moving the needle, and he's not moving the needle any direction, but definitely not in a forward. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is he the right guy for this? Because the reason I ask is everybody touted Jay Crowder coming there as the main get, right, in this in the trade, the Kyrie trade. And I just haven't seen it. I just haven't seen him playing well. You know what I mean? Contributing in the way that you would think he would contribute. And is that Crowder? Is that his role? Is that what he's being asked to do? You know what I mean? And how, in relation to how he fits in with the team, has that been defined for him? I'm sure something's been defined for him, but is it the right role that's been defined for him? You know what I mean? And that's on Ty Lue. When you go back to developing guys for their roles, like, that's on Ty Lue and his staff. Like, are you getting the best out of what you got? You don't have a question that Pop is doing that. You don't have a question that Kerr is doing that. There's no question that Brad Stevens is doing that. And these are your main competitors, right? So, is Ty Lue getting, like, when a guy goes and plays for Ty Lue, do you ever see that guy play his best basketball of his career? Other than LeBron James, to this point, we cannot say, maybe Kyrie? I mean, but then you got to compare Kyrie in Cleveland to Kyrie in Boston, and is he playing better in Boston? He's playing better in Cleveland. That's up for debate. But there hasn't been a dude that has come in, played for Ty Lue, and everybody's been like, yo, Ty Lue turned that dude's life around. And
so that's the game changer on our most recent podcast. Make sure you can check it out on iTunes. Just search Real Sports Guys. You'll see that segment when we're talking about Cleveland. Hank, I think, you know, he raised some legitimate issues. And I hate to say this, but he's raised some legitimate issues. What are some of your thoughts as we talk about Cleveland? And you mentioned, you know, everybody looking and seeing some of the issues with Cleveland right now. And, it, you know, some of the stuff is not same old LeBron teams kind of having a lull. You see some real structural and some other issues that can be some longstanding issues in Cleveland that could get cleaned up. But, you know, there's much more concern. What do you think about what Game Changer said about Ty Lue?
You know what? This isn't the same Cleveland Cavaliers team that made it to the finals last year. People need to understand that, okay? You've got some of the same cast of characters. But I recall us having this conversation about Ty Lue when he took over for David Blatt. You know, that this was a hand-picked coach by LeBron James to do LeBron James' bidding, all right? That the great LeBron James was making all of these calls. And because that team was on such a high, and Kyrie Irving played such a pivotal role in that team winning its first and only championship, that now that player is now gone. If you recall that team, the reason why David Black got fired was because of some things that he would not do the year before when they got beat by Golden State, which got his exit. And then brought in Ty Lue. And then Ty Lue goes on and wins the championship because he did some things which, depending on who you talk to, that LeBron James suggested or demanded, they worked, they won a title. A lot of the offense, though, even though LeBron played great in that title, in that finals, Kyrie Irving was a beast. Now here we are again, okay, a few years later, second year with Ty Lue, And what you see now, third year rather, with Ty Lue, and now you have a different team. You don't have the Kyries there. You don't have some of those bench players there. You made some moves on this team. You bring in, and here's a piece don't nobody talk about. You bring in Dwayne Wade. Bring in some guys that now, that locker room is different, D. That locker room is different. Ty Lue knows how to run a practice because he was assistant coach. He knows how to do that, okay? So I'm not saying that the man is incompetent. But you have to ask yourself, you got some heavy hitters in that locker room that's done it already before, okay? You got a Dwayne Wade who is aging, and you got Isaiah Thomas who was hurt. You got a different locker room in there. Now you have Ty Lue that now have some seasoned veterans, not just one in LeBron James, but now you've got a couple who are used to running teams, especially with Dwayne Wade. We don't know what that dynamic is doing to that locker room, okay? But we do know that it is impacting what's going on the floor, all right? You had Spoelstra when you was in Miami, but you also had the specter of Pat Riley there, okay? So that was going to keep things in check. You don't have that in Cleveland, okay? You don't have that in Cleveland. You have teams right now that has gone to the finals now 3 years in a row. They don't have a whole lot to really concern themselves with in the regular season. So a lot of this foolishness is coming out. The question you have to ask yourself, though, going forward about Ty Lue is how does he handle these superstar veterans, not just the one. You had the Batman and Robin when you had Kyrie and LeBron. You don't really have that right now. You've got the Justice League, if you will, when you're talking about these two guys, you're talking about Wade and you're talking about LeBron, because they both have done it, okay, collectively. And with Dwayne, he's done it on his own. That creates a dynamic in the locker room that's going to be a problem, okay? And a lot of people don't understand when you think about some of your coaches. We just started talking about these coaches that know how to command a room. You're talking about your Pat Riley's. You talked about your Chuck Daly's. You talked about Phil Jackson. You talk about Sloan. You're talking about Pop. You're talking about all these coaches that, first and foremost, there is no question who the man in charge is, okay? There's no question of that. I would contend that you got an issue with that in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on it. And part of it is, I think in the run that Ty Lue had, he made some really good moves. I think some of the stuff that he did in terms of making some decisions about how he played Shrump and how he played JR in some spots and how they featured, how they brought some guys off the bench as well, and some of the matchups. I think he made some good moves. I think what people missed last year is that they went a long stint, at least half that season towards the end of the year, without J.R. Smith. He went through a lot of personal stuff, plus injury. You remember he held out at the beginning of the year. And I think that really affected their continuity down the stretch. And they didn't get enough games with J.R. going in to the playoffs. I mean, even in one of the closeout game, I mean, J.R. finally broke out. But it seems like J.R. has not really even has not recovered from last year. And he's a key piece, because he's the most versatile piece they got, especially after losing Kyrie, where JR, when he was on top of his game, could do it on the defensive end and the offensive end. I mean, he had really last year picked himself up defensively. I think one of the things we talked about on the other podcast is, and which helps a coach like Tyree, and you're seeing some of this stuff out in LA with the Clippers, when you have a GM who just doesn't bring you retread parts, but they bring you some diamond in the roughs. They create space where you can use some of your young talent that you acquired. If you look at Golden State, the number of young guys who are also contributing on that second unit, you don't see some of that young guys. And some of that's part of, we just talked about this with Jason Kidd. I think this is an issue with LeBron, is this whole idea of, you know, him believing and trusting in veterans. And, you know, that's part of that Pat Riley school sometimes, and not allowing some, you know, trusting some of these young guys can help you. And like you said, you know, when you have a veteran coach or at least a voice or even a GM who can come down and be the mediator and say, look, you got to let Ty get this guy in because you need some of this young talent to go. You know, not having even somebody in the front office who could be part of that discussion along with LeBron, I think is part of it. And part of that is the LeBron business model now where, you know, he does this, you know, these 2-year deals, you know, the second year is the option and some of that stuff that kind of is smart because of, you know, given he and the owner's history, you know, and not really trusting it, but not having Griffith there to mediate, help out and do that, that loss of that veteran GM, I think is crucial here because I think LeBron needs young people he can trust. And he's got, they drafted a couple of nice guards. They've done some stuff, but none of those guys are getting ticked because when you bring a guy like D-Wade, you bring some of these veterans on, you're not bringing them not to play. And so I think you're right. I think it's you almost, you know, you can't hamstring someone like Ty Lue with some of the pieces you put in the locker room. And so it's hard to even manage some of those pieces. I think he does have a bright future, but I just think he's, you know, this situation, given LeBron's short-term deals, this win-now kind of mentality, I think kind of hamstrung someone like Ty Lue. And so the mistake they might make is letting him go and watching him flourish as a coach somewhere else, which could be a mistake. But he made enough nice moves in that playoff run to win that championship to tell me he's got something there. But you're not giving him any pieces. You're giving him a lot of stuff that's hard to win with. And without bringing some young pieces in and being innovative and catching some pieces where people aren't seeing on the way up, you know, that's going to be a problem. I don't know if that's enough to save him though. You know what I'm saying? At some point it's the narrative. People pay whatever narrative. I mean, they paid enough narrative to get that GM who was the executive of the year. Now he's not their GM anymore. You know, so you don't know where this franchise is going. They're holding on to that pick that they got in the trade. You don't know where that pick is going to end up. It could be anywhere. It's probably going to end up in that 7-8 slot. Do you move that pick now? But, you know, if I'm Cavs being responsible, I'm not moving that pick not knowing where LeBron's going. I got to get something. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that's holding them hostage that's not holding Celtics hostage. It's not holding Golden State hostage. It's not holding Houston hostage. It's not holding some of these competitors that they got. None of them are held hostage by this same stuff that Cleveland appears to be held hostage. The only person who can really solve that and even help Ty Lue is LeBron. But he's not going to show his hand. So it becomes a very difficult kind of thing. What you can hope is these cats get some rest on this All-Star break, get rejuvenated, and find a way to get some – he has to figure out how to build a second unit. That's what he's got to do because the key when I saw that series last year against Golden State was that LeBron needed about a 5-6 minute period where somebody could hold something scoring while he rested. Because when he was in there, he was killing him. But he needed 5 to 6 minutes where he could get some rest and not lose a lead or gain a lead. So it seems like he's got that kind of offensive firepower. But once they all get healthy, Ty Lue has to figure out what that second unit is going to look like. And if he can get JR to coexist in that second unit. If he can get some of those guys like Crowder to really build him a nice second unit where they can score and do some defensive stuff, then I think he's going to be in good shape. But he hasn't had him healthy enough, and you don't get the chance to practice, you know, during a regular season. You know, he's going to need to figure out that through game stuff, you know, in the second half when all these guys are healthy and he can really play with the lineups. But we'll see. We'll kind of watch where that's going. We'll kind of see how things are happening with that. You're listening to RSG One Mic, one of our key podcasts on the Real Sports Guys platform. Go check us out at realsportsguys.com. Check out our other podcasts that we have going. It's myself, Devon Wilson, and Hank Davis. We've been talking a little bit about NBA. We're going, you know, we're taking a road trip around the NBA. One of the things that I wanted to kind of hit in as we start to head towards kind of All-Star weekend is, you know, they like some of these power rankings. And you look at a lot of different stuff and see who's what. They got Golden State at the top. They got Houston at number two. They got Boston at 3, Toronto at 4, Minnesota at 5, San Antonio at 6, Oklahoma City at 7, Miami at 8, Washington at it's kind of a Washington at 9, Cleveland at 10. So they have Cleveland at 10, Portland at 11, and the Pacers at 12, and then so on. There's some surprises just, and this is USA Today's power rankings. They do this, but that when you look at that, that's kind of surprising. They got Cleveland bumped way down, but you know, you start looking at it, the team that we talked a little bit about was Toronto. They're playing a totally different style. You got DeRozan actually knocking down threes. The kind of they've been playing this kind of pace and space format. So you know, Casey's really switched his style up. He's like 50. They told me switch my style up. Somebody told him switch his style up. He switched his style up and it's paying off. You got Fred VanVleet. You got Wright coming off the bench. They got some stuff happening there. And then Minnesota's kind of waking up here lately. They were started out kind of slow getting together. But when you look at the power rankings around that, kind of surprised they got San Antonio at 6, given what we're hearing with Kawhi Leonard struggling coming back. I'm not sure about San Antonio right now. They've been doing some really good stuff and winning. When I watch them, I'm not sure. Oklahoma City's been strong here in recent weeks. I think they've been trying to put stuff together. But when you look at the power rankings, you know, what does that mean to you? What does that say about where we are right now at this point in the NBA season?
It says to me that this is, to be blunt, this is to keep people interested in the NBA. Excuse me, in the NBA going into the second half of the season, kind of let you know what the narrative is. As we talked about earlier, D, that there's a lot of moving around, there's a lot of movement of a lot of players. And in particular, when you're talking about CP3 going to Houston, and now you see they got the number two team ranked, up from 4 last week, and Golden State being Golden State. But when you look at this, you have to ask yourself, okay, in particular, look at what's going on in the East, all right? And it's really not so different, if you look at it, from last year. You got the Boston Celtics now. They're the number 3 team in this week's power rankings. They were the number 1 overall seed last year going into the playoffs, and got their bells rung, okay, by Cleveland. You look at Toronto, who also was a team that we thought was going to make a run or at least challenge and got exposed in the playoffs again. I think what surprises me when I look at this is the Timberwolves. They're just quietly putting together a nice year. You know, this is another one of them young teams that they just kind of, oh, by the way, because you get so Golden Stated to death, you get so Houston to death, you get so enamored with the stars that's now in Oklahoma City. And then, lo and behold, they're little old Minnesota. And I watched Minnesota play. Minnesota's a very, very exciting basketball team. Okay? They can raise some fits right now in the West. Now, am I saying to you they're going to beat Golden State? Absolutely not. But they're going to be that team. You know, they kind of remind me of that team that you would kind of hoped that the Clippers would be. When they had everybody there, that you just look for them to take that next step, but they, for some reason, they kept stubbing their own toe. You guys have kind of watched Minnesota play. They are very, very above the rim type of team, very exciting to watch. But they're the ones that, if I look at this, that I kind of get excited about. And disappointing, I think I would have to say is they got Washington at 9, but I kind of expected more out of Washington. You know, I thought that they would make a little bit more of a bump. And also Philadelphia, with all that young talent they got over there, those kids got to grow up at some point. You know, right now they're just hovering around 500. And look, the East, you got a shot. You got a shot in the East. You know, they're playing a little bit better, but you really want to see them start to take off. But, you know, I'm not surprised overall. You know, Golden State, again, is Golden State. Golden State and Houston is a fun – they could be a fun rivalry, but I still think Houston lacks a lot before. I think again, it's Golden State's to lose.
Yeah, and I think the team that's most disappointed with all the stuff they were talking about is the Wizards. They are not where they need to be at this point. But I think you're right. I think this is good conversation for mid. You know, when all the dust settles, you know, we'll probably be seeing Cleveland and Golden State squaring off again. But Houston's interesting. I think, particularly with Chris Paul there, particularly with them playing a greater emphasis on defense. And the stars are buying in to the defensive side, and they're not really scared of Golden State. It's going to be interesting to see how they put themselves together down the stretch. And then there's some early matchups that could wear a team like Golden State down, even though they might win them. Reduce the sweeps and having them play in some extra games because of that depth with a team like Minnesota or the Clippers beginning to get their act together with Lou Williams out there, and as they get healthy. And putting all the pieces together, OKC is going to battle. They might not win it all, but they can do some body damage. They can do some work and stretch you and make you battle to win that series that then could pay up later on. And if Cleveland hits a note and just works their way through the East, you know, and is resting, that could create some problems. So, yeah, I think we're kind of early on this, but it's always interesting to see what the storylines are, And can teams hold these styles in the playoffs? It's one way to play it one way, but when it starts getting tense, do you go back to what you know? You know, especially a team like Toronto that's playing this, you know, this way, and you got DeRozan shooting a lot, which I think is really good, knocking down threes, not really getting caught up in those in-between, intermediate jump shots, but hitting that three-pointer, you know, also allowing him to play the game a little bit easier, getting some easier buckets because he's not working, spending so much energy. That he can knock down a jump shot, knock down some stuff to really allow him to pace himself through the game. You know, that makes him a pretty tough cover and really opens up the game differently for them. So, but can that style continue when it really gets tense, or do you go back to what you know? And I think those are things that we're going to really pay attention to here as we look at the NBA season. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to go into the cipher. And then there were two.